Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Chet, Chapter 38. Yechezkel inspired his people with words of encouragement and comfort in Perek 37 with the vision of the dry bones. Now that Bnei Israel are living in their land, joined together with the Spirit of Hashem, and we think all is well, maybe they will even live happily ever after. When suddenly, Yechezkel presents an apocalyptic vision of a massive war perpetrated by the nation of Gog from the land of Magog. Says Hashem to Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Sim Panecha El Gog, Eretz HaMagog, Nasi Rosh Meshach V'Tuval V'Hinaveh Alav. Yechezkel, says Hashem, Ben Adam, son of man, turn your face to Gog from the land of Magog. He is also the ruler of Meshach and Tuval, and give him a prophecy. Rav Meidan points out that we know these names from the children of Yefet in Bereishit chapter 9, and Meshach and Tuval came up in the names of the countries that sink to the ground with Assyria and Egypt. And yet, even though these names are familiar, and in theory could be real places, it's clear that these countries and these names are supposed to be symbolic, as we never encounter in Tanakh a country or a land that actually functions, named Gog or Magog. Many people are already familiar with the concept of there being an apocalyptic war called the War of Gog and Magog. This concept comes up in the Gemara, Sanhedrin, Daf 94, where it says that Hashem wanted to make Chizkio Mashiach and Sancheirev Gog u'Magog. Chizkio was supposed to be the Messiah, and Sancheirev, his battle against the Assyrians, would fulfill this concept of the war of Gog u'Magog. But it didn't happen. Chizkio didn't say Shira, and that didn't play out. This concept, though, that there will be a war called Gog u'Magog is prevalent in the Gemara and the Rishonim, and this citation in the Gemara shows that it doesn't have to be this land called Magog with a country called Gog. It's a concept, it's a theory. And Rambam writes in Hilchot Melachim, chapter 12, halacha 2, that the simple interpretation of the prophet's words implies that the war of Gog and Magog will take place at the beginning of the Messianic age. So there's an idea that this war of Gog and Magog ushers in the Messianic age, and that makes Yechezkel's description here in chapter 38 even more opaque. It's not clear how actual or how symbolic it's supposed to be. The Dat Mikra notes that many tzaddikim throughout the ages prayed that the tragedies of their time be considered this war of Gog u'Magog, this final war, and usher in the times of the Mashiach. The opaqueness of the vision gives us pause and hope. Hope that for each of us, the Messianic time will happen in our own days. And like those tzaddikim of days past, our troubles could be considered this Gog u'Magog. It doesn't have an exact form. It can take on different forms. And pause, as we really have to understand that we don't know how this war will play out. What is this? What is the level of symbolism? And what is the level of actuality? And we don't know. We'll know when it comes. Now back to the Psukim. In the Psukim, the war begins when Gog descends to wage war on the world. It is not, however, his choice. This is Hashem's act, not his own, says Pasuk Dalid. V'shovavtich v'natati chachim v'lechyech v'hotzeti otach ve'et kol chilech susim u'prashim levushei mechlol kulam kahal rav tzina u'magein tovsei charavot kulam. Says Hashem to Gog, I'm going to turn you around, I'm going to put hooks in your jaw, and I will bring you forth, and all of your army and your horses and your horsemen, all of them wearing this full armor, this huge army with their swords and their shields. Everyone is going to come, and I'm going to pull you, says Hashem. This hook in Gog's jaw reminds us of Paro, the great sea monster, who was wrenched out of his watery habitat and thrust into the desert by Hashem. There he learns that his strength was just an illusion, a product of his geography, not of his skill. So too, this move of Gog, which he thinks is of his own volition, will eventually reveal to him and to the others his ultimate weakness. He was also completely dependent on Hashem. But first the war. Gog allies with Paras, Kush and Put, all of them in armors and weapons and coming from different parts of the world. Persia from the east, Kush from Africa, Gomer, Torgamal, Yarkitate, Safon, those countries from the north. He joins with all of them. And now with this massive coalition, he's ready to take on the world. Then another land catches his eye. Pasuchet. Miyamim rabim, tipakei v'achrit hashanim, tavo el eretz, mishovevet micharev, mikubetet me'amim rabim, al harei Yisrael, asher hayu l'charbat tamid. Gob is, after many days, he comes to the land that is brought back from the sword, one that is gathered of many people, and that is Harei Yisrael, these mountains of Israel, which have been destroyed, but for a very, very long time, but now, v'hi ma'amim hutza'ah, it's brought out of many peoples, meaning its people have returned. V'yashvu lavetach kulam, they're just living there securely. Here comes a land that could not be weaker. It's a land that was destroyed. It was recently inhabited. It's not a land that has been thriving and has this whole armored apparatus. It's a land that's inhabited by people who themselves have been captives. They used to be so weak, and they've just now they've returned and they're living securely in their land. And he sees this land, Harei Yisrael, inhabited by, we know, by the dry bones who have arisen from the dead and gone back to dwell peacefully in their lands, building it out of its ruins, living in peace and security. Gog descends on the land of Israel like a shoah, like a storm, and like an anan, like a cloud. Rashi calls it a fog that you can always imagine. They're getting in everywhere, causing darkness and confusion. All imagery that reflects how Gog will cover the land, swirl over it, and completely take it over. And at some point, it occurs to Gog that he will start up his war against the Arei HaPrazot, those that are Yoshvei Levetach, these people who live in unfortified cities, in open cities. They're so confident in their own strength that they don't need to go and live in walled cities. And he has in mind a large haul. He's going to take their things, their animals. He'll raid them. He's going to get that nation that's gathered back from amongst the other nations. He will be the one to fight the nation that was a miracle of history. And in that fight, he will also stand up to the miracle of history, stand against the concept of a nation brought back from the dead. That day, Hashem tells Yechezkel, when Gog begins to conquer the villages and the farms of Israel, send him this prophecy. Pasuk Yudalid, Lachin hinavei ben adam, va'amarta l'Gog, give this prophecy to Gog. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, halo bayom hahu, b'shevet ami levetach, teda. On that day, when my nation dwells securely, you will know. And Rashi explains that the word teda, he explains it like the Targum Yonatan. Teda poranut gevurati. You are going to know the punishment of my strength. Klomar, teda v'takir mihu ma'uzam umuftacham. You're going to know who was their strength and who they depended on. This nation that came back from the dead, they look so weak. They just got here. They don't have an army. But you're going to know that actually they have a strength. They have a hidden power. And their hidden power, says Hashem, is me. Suddenly, like Paro, like Assyria, like Tsur, and like everyone else, you, Gog, will know that you were successful only because Hashem allowed you to be. You will know that, like Assyria, you were just a tool in Hashem's hand. Now you have a different purpose, not to conquer, but to fall. And through your fall, you will teach the world about Hashem. And it was almost like Gog had to be so strong so that their fall would make an impact. And Bnei Yisrael had to be so weak so that Hashem's salvation would be clear. Says Yechezkel in Pasuk Yudchet, V'haya b'yom hahu b'yom bo Gog al admat Yisrael ne'um Hashem Elokim te'alech hamati ba'api. On that day when Gog tries to conquer the land of Israel, my anger will come up to my nostrils. And then continuing in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 19, U'bekenati be'esh evrati dibarti. In the jealousy and the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Im lo bayom hahu yerash gadol ala mat Yisrael. On that day, there is going to be a great shaking of the land of Israel. And you could just imagine how when Gog starts to lose, it's like an earthquake. V'karati alav l'chol harei charev ne'um Hashem Elokim. I am going to call to all the nation, to all the mountains against him. Cherev ish b'achav tiyeh. And do you know how Gog is going to die? They're going to kill each other. That's how they're going to die. They're not going to be killed by the great army of Israel. They don't have a great army. But somehow, in their confusion, they are going to kill each other. V'nitpashti oto b'dever u'bedam. Nishpatziti oto. I'm going to judge him. I'll enter into judgment with him, says Hashem, with dever, with pestilence, with dam, with blood. The geshem shotef, I'm going to rain down this cleansing rain on him. V'avnei al gabish, and these great hailstones, esh gafrit, amtir alav, I'm going to rain down fire, and I'm going to rain down sulfur on him. Balagavav, on his multitudes, on his hordes of soldiers, va'alamim rabbi mashirito, and on the many nations that are with him. The people of Gog, who seem invincible, will not be beaten by the equally invincible B'nai Yisrael. No. Instead, they will be beaten by Hashem. And we notice the words that are used against Gog are really the makot. They have dever, they have dam, they have hailstones, pestilence, blood, they have barad. And like the Egyptians, they too will be brought down by the miraculous intervention of Hashem, stretching his hand out and protecting his nation. The specific words of the downfall of Gog are familiar to us from a different parak in Yechezkel, chapter 13. That parak spoke out against the false prophets who were lying to the people as they propped up a doomed rebellion and convinced the people that they had nothing to fear in taking on Babylonia, the act that Yirmiyahu had told them over and over not to do. And that pasuk in, I'm reading now from Yechezkel 13, verse 11, Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, Emor el techei tofel v'yipol, those who take the wall, this shaky wall that's going to crumble, and they paint it with whitewash, and it is going to fall. The geshem shotef etena, I am going to give this overflowing shower. If you remember, the geshem shotef is what he said that he's going to bring to rain onto Gog. The avnei al gabish tipolna, and these great hailstones will fall on it. Veruach sa'arat tivakea, and a stormy wind will tear it down. These leaders who whitewash the very shaky and cracked walls, when the destruction comes, it will be shown to be unable to hold anything up, much less protect them. These leaders are going to be exposed as liars. Both these phrases, Geshem Shotef and Avnei al Gabish, are unique to Yechezkel and are only used three times even in this Sefer, meaning they're not used anywhere else in Tanakh. They're used three times in Yechezkel, twice in Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13, and once here. And Yechezkel clearly wanted to draw a parallel between the Nevi'e Sheker, the false prophets who prop up the rebellion in Jerusalem, and this country of Gog, this apocalyptic country that comes to destroy the nation of Israel as the ushering in the messianic times. Both believed their own lies. Both believed in their own strength. Both had a worldview that did not include the actual power of Hashem. Both obstructed others from seeing Hashem. And at the end, this Geshem Shotef will come. This overflowing rain will wash away all of the illusions. Everyone will be seen for who they really are. The whitewash will wash off, and the wall will be seen for what it is, flimsy and about to fall. The false prophets will be seen for what they are, selfish opportunists. And the nation of Gog will be seen for what they actually are, only a tool that has been directed this whole time by Hashem and not through their own strength. When their fall comes, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, verse 23, V'hitgadalti, v'hitkadashti, v'nodati le'enei goyim rabim v'yedu ki ani Hashem. I will magnify myself and I will sanctify myself. I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Hashem. The ultimate purpose of this war of Gog Magog is to magnify Hashem's name and unify the world in the service of Hashem. The miraculous fall of Gog and the lack of casualties in Eretz Yisrael will magnify Hashem's glory and let his name be known in all of the world. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.